Hey y'all, thanks for coming back to listen to another Friday episode of Kudzu Killers, Homicide, and Sweet Tea.
I'm Lark, and that other voice you hear is Kim. For the next 15 minutes or so, we hope to bring y'all an interesting tidbit about crime, or a story we feel you'll like but just doesn't have enough information available for a full episode.
We hope you enjoy these tasty morsels of good old Southern Gothic mayhem.
So sit back, grab your glass of iced tea, relax, and enjoy yourself. So now, on with the show. Y'all, so it's Forensic Friday. Woo-hoo! Welcome back. Woohoo! And we have a cringy, gory story today. So,
you guys might want to, you know,
yeah,
be careful and think about what you want to listen to today.
Yeah, so I'm giving out a cringe alert more so for the Y chromosome owning folks. Y'all males out there might not want to hear all this, but you can't make this stuff up. You just can't. And guess where the story takes place, Kim?
Well, I'm going to guess the place we usually talk about, Florida.
Yes. Give the woman a whole bunch of money. So you got it. You got it. And not only that, but let's talk about 6 degrees of separation. A man was arrested and stopped for his fourth DWI in Fort Pierce, St. Lucie County, which is where I used to live. It is a spit in the road, y'all. But there it is. This poor man was stopped aside a RV / trailer park. And he was just kind of minding his own business when he was arrested for his fourth DWI. Well, we're going to call him Hank to protect his identity because this story has just brought him a lot of shame and we don't want to dox him, basically. So,
right.
A few months after he was arrested, the judge sentenced him to a 3-year prison stretch. That's because he's had several DWIs, okay?
Yeah, he should have been in prison a lot sooner than that because I don't think the laws and punishments for DWI are as severe as they should be, but that's another story.
Right. Well, yeah. So while he was in prison at Okeechobee Correctional Institute, which is kind of across the state and sort of in the middle of nowhere, 2 years into his sentence in April of 2019, Hank developed some curious and rather severe blisters on his penis. And he was bounced around to a few other prison doctors. And while they never stated that they checked for your basic venereal diseases like syphilis or herpes, or even for the possibility of, hey, obsessive masturbation, what else do you have to do in prison? I'm assuming that they did. And in June of 2009, urologist and penile implant specialist Dr. Paul Perito was summoned onto the scene. Our Hank was sent under guard to South Miami's Larkin Community Hospital, where Perito was called in to check out the situation, as it were. Perito debrided the organ, stripped it of its contaminated tissues, and then packed it with gauze and stitched it up. Now, that already sounds pretty painful to me. Now,
I'm not even a guy, and that sounds painful to me.
Oh, but wait, there's more. Just saying. He attached 3 strings to the packet of gauze, almost like he packed it in there with a tampon and then sewed it up.
Okay.
Because he was given these aftercare folks, the nurses and whatnot, were told that they were supposed to pull this out after 5 days or within 5 days, kind of like a tampon, you pull it out, right?
Right.
What I need to mention that's not normal or standard procedure. In the meantime, right, he's had his surgery. He's got his man tampon And to cut costs, Hank was sent from Larkin to Kendall Regional Medical Center for his recovery. Well, I guess his paperwork wasn't really following him. So he wasn't seen again by Perito until it was basically too late. And other doctors, you see where we're going. Other doctors were stumped at Perito's handiwork, and they also couldn't reach him for details as to why he did this. Though the gauze was supposed to be removed within less than a week, it wasn't until nearly 3 weeks later.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, ooh.
Well, it's a wonder the guy didn't die of sepsis or something.
Well, you know, I mean, that I wondered that, too. That was never, you know, kind of touched on. But I wondered that because there could have been a ton of ways this could go. So on July the 17th, after Hank's penis started to turn colors, well, yeah, right? I can only imagine. It was probably green and purple. And oh, poor man. Mm-hmm. At that point, Kendall urologists treated him for, quote, severe penile infection and gangrene.
Oh, no.
I
can't imagine what that smelled like, because gangrene is very
nasty.
It's very nasty and stinky and
pussy and gooky. It's just,
well, it's, you know, it's when bacteria get in there, or a really bad infection of some sort, and kills off the tissue. It's basically dead tissue that's rotting. And it smells. And so
Yeah, in a really, really big way. All I could think of was that scene in True Blood where the poor guy has his, they're in the hospital and his thing is as big as an eggplant. That's all I could think of. Yeah. I know. Jeez. Well, anyway, sorry. So when the doctor at Kendall pulled the gauze out, it was green and gooey and nasty. Mm-hmm. And it was so disgusting that the guard that was watching him just puked on the spot.
Yeah. I can imagine.
So they finally find Perito, right? They finally find him. Less than 2 weeks later from this event, when they've finally cleaned it up and probably stoked him up with antibiotics, he performed surgery again on Hank's penis.
I don't think I'd let him touch me.
Oh,
okay.
But wait, 5 days after that, he went under another operation. And then finally, on August the 14th, 3 days later, Hank underwent a partial penilectomy. Four surgeries.
How do you do a partial penilectomy? Because that's it. What good is it going to do you to have part of your penis?
Well, I don't know, but you know, I don't know, but
I'm
that's...
trying not. I was told not to laugh by you, but I'm not laughing at the patient situation. I'm laughing at the doctor.
I know. We didn't want to laugh. We don't want to laugh at the poor victims, because I think he's a victim. But I mean, it's just kind of the subject. Through all this, Hank remained shackled to the hospital bed, and he had to urinate through a catheter. And you know, I really feel for him, because you know, the dreaded man cold is worse than anything, but this right here, oh my god. So he was released from state custody in March 2010, having lost 20 pounds due to illness caused by this infection. No, not 20 pounds. I'm sorry. 60 pounds, you guys. 60.
60?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm totally
just skin and bones?
I guess.
By the time he got out?
I guess. Wow.
Unless he was a very large person.
Well, you know, they weren't showing pictures. They weren't telling his name. You know what I'm saying? He still isn't even sure what caused the initial blistering. And all this for a DWI. Now, I am really against drunk driving. Okay. But
I am too. I think the very first time you get caught drunk driving, the punishment should be severe enough that you don't want to do it again. I really do.
Well, right. But I also think this is some pretty harsh karma, man.
Oh, yeah. This is.
So since returning home, he's kept the amputation a secret, and that's why we're calling him Hank. So the only comment that our poor Hank has made is that the only people who know are my sister, my dog, and my lawyer. Oh.
Yeah, my lawyer sure would know about it.
Well, of course he sued. So,
as for Hank, this is one lawsuit that I'm okay with. You know, a lot of times people sue when it's not really the doctor's fault. But this instance, it's the doctor and the prison system because they didn't follow up like the doctor told them to.
Well, exactly. And that's,
so I'm on his side for that. Yeah.
That's what I was going to say, because as for Hank, his attorney, Spencer Ehrenfeld, says that he'd been declared disabled and he'd been unemployable since the DWI arrest. And Ehrenfeld also stated the loss of a penis has a devastating emotional effect.
Well, sure it does.
That he's seen.
Most guys couldn't even, that most guys cringe and get kind of weird when you talk about kicking some guy there, you know?
Well, yeah. And there was a comment made. He actually made a comment, Hank did, and some other things that I read, that it felt like that, just the same way, just magnified. I can't imagine, but mm-mm, I've never been hurt like that. But anyway, so Ehrenfeld, his lawyer, said that he had also seen patients become almost demented. So adding insult to injury, man, in what the lawyer said he believes to be a retaliatory move, guess what? The Department of Corrections are suing Hank for the cost of having housed him during the sentence.
Oh, no. Uh-uh. No, 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 no. That'll get thrown out of court.
Well.
That'll get thrown out of court.
Well, so that's our Hank. So keep him in mind. Now, this isn't, we really want to talk about Dr. Perito a little bit more. The suit isn't Dr. Perito's first brush in a courtroom, and nor the first time he's been sued by Ehrenfeld, coincidentally, over a penile amputation, as a matter of fact. Okay? So in 2007, 62-year-old Coral Gables resident Enrique Emilius fatefully found our Perito as well. All this poor guy ever wanted to do was have sex with his wife of 25 years, Gloria. Mm-hmm. But he couldn't. So he went to see our local penis guru, Paul Perito.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't looking for it to get bigger or anything like that. He just wanted to have sex with her.
Right. He had like erectile dysfunction or something like that?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So, Perito touts himself as a national leader in penile implant surgery. So, let me just stop here and say the penile implant is a bendable silicone rod that looks something like an orchestra conductor's baton.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it kind of wiggles around, but it's stiff. Right. Okay. And after the operation, which involves stitching and swelling and bruising, according to the doctor's website, patients should keep their penises against the abdomen for 3 days with a supplied scrotal support. So it needs to be, you know, you give some time.
It's got to be stable. Yeah.
Yeah. You give it some time to, you know, get a grip.
Heal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so the patient will never be flaccid ever again. Ever. Never, never, never. So the implant leaves the penis in the erect state at all times, and the patient positions the penis for his comfort or activity. But 9 days after surgery, a small infection, guess what? Became gangrene.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
But worse, this time, again, lawyer Spencer Ehrenfeld describes his situation turned into a flesh-eating bacteria that ate his penis centimeter by centimeter.
Oh, no. Oh, that's just...
And as a result of this, he has to spend the rest of his life without a functioning penis, one way or other. He has to sit down to urinate. He's lost any intimate relationships with anyone, his wife or not. And he's lost his manhood.
Right.
I'm beginning to think that Spencer is filling a niche here, but, you know, that's just a side note. Mila suffered from a number of medical conditions, including erectile dysfunction, as you said, according to the court records. But get this. So he lived in Miami for 40 years working in a medical supply business. And he received the surgery in 2007 at Coral Gables Hospital. Now, keep in mind, he's lived there for 40 years.
Right.
Mila alleges that his anesthesiologist, Dr. Laurentiu Buru, failed to evaluate properly the risks of this procedure. He first filed a lawsuit in 2009, naming Buru and Perito, the urologist who performed the surgery. Now, their lawyers state that this is an infection that occurred because he didn't do what he was supposed to do post-operatively 9 days after the surgery. They suggest that Mila ignored medical instructions to avoid sex and developed a fecal infection.
Well, that could be true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody has any way of knowing.
Yeah. Sure. Well, exactly. Who knows? I can't even imagine. I'm sure it would be awfully painful, but whatever. So, you know, they also say that implant surgery comes with a risk of infection, which can occur at any time after surgery, and in rare cases, even years later, according to the Mayo Clinic. According to the Miami Herald, which obtained records that are not publicly available, Perito settled the case out of court. But let me just comment that this is not before there was a tip to the INS that led to the former patient being deported.
Oh, okay.
Remember he'd been there.
Yeah, I wonder where that tip came from.
Yeah, yeah. So he'd been there for 40 years. And now, he was sent back to Peru, I believe. And then they did settle, and that's where he is now. But in the meantime, if all this wasn't bad enough, let me tell y'all a little history about the Dr. P before he even mangled those poor men's bodies and minds. In 2004, Perito was arrested for illegally selling prescription drugs, including large amounts of diluted cancer and AIDS medication in a conspiracy.
I think I remember that guy.
Oh, wait, just wait. Oh, wait, because I'm going to tell you the dirty deal. This was in a conspiracy that allegedly raked in $60 million. It was a big old sting in Florida because of fake drugs. Okay. Mm-hmm. This was part of it. So he and his business partner were acting as a middleman for large shipments of fake or watered down injectable drugs, including Procrit. Did I say that? Procrit and Epogen, used to strengthen cancer.
Epogen
used to strengthen cancer and AIDS patients. So investigators.
That's the company I used to work for.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's Epogen and Neupogen for cancer patients. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Red and white blood cells.
So I bet you did hear about this because, and there was another
there's a lot of black market in that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So investigators say in documents that Perito and Nicholas Just peddled more than 15,000 vials of the cancer drugs from 2001 to 2002. And in 2001 and 2002, Playpen South, which is a strip club, those employees told investigators that Jose Griot, a pharmaceutical wholesaler, would bring coolers of the vials to the playpen and sell them to Perito and his business partner, Just. Now, after they did that, a little bit later, wholesalers, Carlos Luis of Miami and Eddie Moore of Davie, would arrive with $50,000 to $150,000 in cash and leave with the coolers.
Yeah.
Just sometimes even paid the club employees to help count the bundles of money. There was so much money coming in and out. Perito and his business partner used the money to buy expensive sports cars, speedboats, custom motorcycles, and Playpen South Strip Club. So they owned the strip club, right? They had their investments all over the place. A law enforcement affidavit even quoted witnesses who claimed that urologists had a special K habit, that he liked snorting ketamine and sharing it with the strippers. So much so that he'd done this even a night before he was due to perform surgery. Now,
I don't doubt that.
Yeah, I don't either. That takes us back to Dr. Death in Dallas, remember
that
he did?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So another witness claimed to have watched Perito, quote, burn Special K into a liquid form and place it into a microwave. And then he had chopped it up and snorted it, which he also had shared with some dancer by the name of Barbie. And after they did this together, they were both after they did this together, they were both catatonic.
Well, I would imagine, yeah.
Me too, yeah.
He just concentrated it up and then took
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which I can't imagine. Wow.
Seems it's a fast to me, way to kill yourself.
Exactly. That's where I was going with that. It seemed like, wow, you're lucky you didn't die. So anyway, mm-hmm. it sounds to me like they were just out of control because get this. Okay. Journalist Catherine Eben's 2005 book, Dangerous Doses, How Counterfeiters are Contaminating America's Drug Supply. That's her book, if y'all want to go into this more. Goes into more gory detail about this cavalier doctor, because he just didn't seem to care about his oath, if it were, you know, or people. Right. All he seemed to care about is the money. She claimed that a high perito once bragged on the dance floor that he, quote, split the penis of a gay male patient in two parts so that the man could entertain two lovers at once.
Oh, my. I know, I'm not sure how that works, but it's not like you regenerate like a worm. But
it sounds so far-fetched, but if he's high as a kite, he's gonna make up stuff like that, you know.
Oh, sure.
I'm a doctor. You know,
I don't think that would work, but okay. Well,
I don't either, but he's already over the top. So anyway, ultimately Perito and Just were both arrested at their homes when the agent sees a custom motorcycle for $30,000 and a boat, and they ultimately took the playpen strip club and other properties. But listen, they were both charged with racketeering, conspiracy to commit racketeering, organized scheme to defraud, product tampering, vending of counterfeit mm-hmm. drugs, and the purchase of prescription drugs from an unlicensed person.
Did this happen before he did the surgeries?
Yes.
And he was still practicing.
That's what I'm saying. I'm getting to that. So, yeah. And these are all felonies. Kim, these are felonies. Every single one of them. So, if they were convicted, Perito could have faced a total of 250 years in prison and Just could be sentenced to 150 years. But here we go. Perito was held in the Miami-Dade County Jail on over $2 million bail. And Just was held for about the same amount. And do you guys know that, you're not going to believe this, he was basically given a slap on the wrist. He entered a pretrial diversion program for only one minor charge. And that was illegal possession of prescription drugs.
That's ridiculous.
And guess what? This is what he was ordered. He was ordered to have counseling and pay $3,000 costs and $15,000 fine to keep his license.
I think I'd be suing the judge who gave that sentence out too.
That came from
whoever negotiated it.
That little tidbit came from the Miami New Times, and that's all he got. Now,
that's ridiculous.
He must have helped.
He should have had his license revoked.
Well, of course, at the very, very, very least. But all that other stuff, he must have helped bring some other people down, because I couldn't find any other details. Stuff was closed. Mm-hmm. And let me just tell you what diversion means. I didn't know, so I looked it up. And what it means is that it's designed for first-time offenders, and it keeps the conviction off your record.
Ugh.
If you do what they tell you to do. It's like you don't go to trial. You're not actually convicted of it. You cop to it, basically, but then you agree to all this stuff, and there's an agreement made between the prosecutors.
So basically, if they had done more like they should have for this, these men would have never been emasculated, basically.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. And one of them wouldn't have been deported after 40 years of living exactly here and owning mm-hmm. businesses.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Okay, then.
That's exactly mm-hmm. right. And so, you know, he's still in practice. He is still in practice.
Are you serious?
Yeah. He's still in practice. When I went to look this morning, well, it said opening soon on his website. In his office. Mm. Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah. And, oh, my God. I just don't even know. I read this haul and I was like, I told Jody and he was like, oh, don't tell me anymore. I can't take it. Ah, ah, ah. That's why I had
to give you all the guys do that.
Yeah, well, I had to give you all the cringe.
This will be an
alert.
Episode that my husband skips, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sorry for you guys out there because I know that it's your prized possession. And hey, from my perspective, it's a nice prize. I enjoy the benefits of your prize, but
yeah.
But anyway,
this is a PG show.
But anyway, I can't even imagine how horrible these guys. It's bound to have crushed your life. I mean, you know, you take away your whole identity, and
it's negatively affected them for the rest of their lives, and somebody needs to pony up for that.
Yeah, and you know what? So that was the other thing is I couldn't find out how much the guys got because, like, we did our episode before on how much body parts were worth. I just don't know that you could even put a price on it.
Well, you can't really, but you know, hopefully it was enough to make them comfortable. But this guy shouldn't be in practice. This guy shouldn't be able to do anything. He shouldn't be able to touch anybody with a scalpel.
Exactly. So while this isn't murder per se, I don't know. I think it'd be a long, slow death, in my opinion.
Well, it's mentally, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you just wither away. I mean, I sure hope not. I wish him well, but unbelievable. Just
crazy.
Just neglect, you know what I mean? Just negligence.
Well, I'm not negligence. The first one, I don't know what he was doing. I don't know anything about surgery. I'm not a surgeon. If my father-in-law was still here, I could ask him about it. But I can't imagine packing that and then sewing it up. But also, the prison didn't follow through with what they were supposed to be doing as far as aftercare for him. So they bear a little bit of responsibility for that one, too.
Right. Mm-hmm. I looked really hard to find any more details. I really, really did. But he must have, all this is locked down.
Well, this is the type of problem. This is why some doctors can't stay in business because the cost of malpractice insurance is so high is because of guys like this.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's craziness.
Mm-hmm. Again, you know, this goes back to, y'all do research on your doctors.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. If you know anybody, you know, in the business at all, because my doctor had actually, he knew about Dr. Death.
Mm-hmm.
And had been there the day that one doctor had to do the corrective surgery on someone.
Exactly.
And talked to him about it. So these guys all know each other. The anesthesiologists all know the surgeons. So ask around, do some research, make sure you're getting the best guy for it. Don't go by their ads.
Exactly.
Don't go by their, you know, what they say in their Yellow Pages description or whatever. Talk to people that you know.
Exactly. You know, just because he's in a swanky office in Coral Gables, which is like one of the most expensive areas of Miami. I mean, Miami itself is expensive, but you know, don't just blindly trust. So,
right.
So we wish these guys well. And that's my story for today,
wow.
Miss Kim. Mm.
Well, that was a really cringeworthy one. And thanks for doing the research on that. I just can't imagine.
So we're rounding up our year with something really exciting next Tuesday that Kim has, I believe. Timely and topical and some sort of new dimensions to the case. So
the Zodiac. Yeah. Woo-hoo! So we're going to go into that and the latest cipher solving that's been done. And it'll be a good one, I think. So
we'll see y'all Tuesday. And in the meantime, y'all, don't bury the bodies without us, man.
That's right.
Bye.
Bye.